isles of lost men then and there.
Prophesying to these dry bones, live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave, live again, live again. Those who are sleeping, those in the grave, live again. Preparing for war,
up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army from the dust of the earth. Raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army of worshippers. Raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army from the dust of the earth. Raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army. To these dry bones, breath of God from the four winds blow. Breathe life again to these dry bones, breath of God from the four winds blow. Breathe life again to these dry bones, breath of God from the four winds blow. Breathe life again.
The president of the executive branch is now in control of our military in direct violation of the Constitution. The Constitution is in the process of being destroyed. And if Congress and the executive branch cannot regain control of the military, then the American sovereignty is about to be dissolved under the United Nations. And you know, they don't teach that in school anymore. They don't teach it to soldiers. When you take an oath, that's the last time you hear the word Constitution for a whole 20-year career. So the point here, you know, basically is that our schools are no longer teaching the separation of powers. They don't teach about the Constitution. They teach about United Nations in schools today. Unfortunately, there is no constitutional basis for being there. And it's just the principle of the thing. He says, if I take an oath to the United Nations, well, then I'll serve the United Nations. But since I took an oath to be an American, how can you force me to be a United Nations citizen? Do you see what we're seeing here?
A young man joined the service, thought he'd do his part. He loved his country under God, was true to his own heart. He knew he'd get an education, discipline, and growth. He had no hesitation when he gave his solemn oath. He gave a solemn oath. To my God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution I swear I will defend. Foreign or domestic, these last three words ring true. I'm defending my country. My name is Michael New. My name is Michael New. In uniform across the sea, on soil in foreign lands, with dedication, honesty, keen eyes and steady hands, fulfilling every duty with patriotic love, until the day an order came from officers above. From his officers above. The color of the army is a military green, but the uniform they gave to him was like one he'd never seen. The shoulder bore a UN patch, a distinctive shade of blue. No oath to a charter, to my country I'll be true. To my country I'll be true. To my
God and country from now until the end. It's the Constitution I swear I will defend. Foreign or domestic, these last three words ring true. I'm defending my country. My name is Michael New. Yes, my name is Michael New. On Tuesday morn, October 10th, inspection of the men by Finland's General Engström, he had to look again. The traitorous eyes of officers stared down at Michael New. A single patch of green in an endless sea of blue. A single patch of green in an endless sea of blue. To my God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution I swear I will defend. Foreign or domestic, that final word rings true. Yes, I'll defend my country. My name is Michael New. To our God and country, from now until the end, it's the Constitution we swear we will defend. Foreign or domestic, that final word rings true. Yes, we'll defend our country, just like Michael New. America is watching, all eyes on Michael New. You set a fine example, God bless you, Michael New.
Fallen waves of fallen skies wander through my open eyes, where the plated lines adorn aging beauty of the worn. With each wrinkle of the brow, morning isn't present now. With each lingered lick of light, autumn leaves its scented night. Other moments have despaired to recover what they've bared, but will never, once begun, hearken back to early sun. So it should, with all below, fall to grace, to gray and snow, bow to brittle and descent, when the fear and fire spent, giving way to glistening on the face of everything, every tear a diamond paid for a blossom once displayed, owing to a beauty cast every morning come and past. Every rise and set we've shared as the crimson braided hairs, fallen softly to adorn round the lovely face of morn, over deepened eyes of night, knowing more in heaven's light, over curve and cut of youth, sinking sweetly into truth.
Who has shown me finer things than I'll ever know? Blossomed in eternal springs, fallen with the snow. Shuddered as the window pane chilled the marrow through. Emptied in the summer rain, sprinkled with the dew. Landed on the moistened ground, lighted nearest me. When an angel comes around, how am I to see? Or perceive the rarer form, or discern the tides, edging with the coming storm where desire hides. Hide me in thy holy hill, surely under wing, for I'm but a creature still, knowing not a thing.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 12th day of February, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Welcome, School of the Prophets. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsman, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prynhunda, which means good afternoon. Cumriambeth, Wales forever. And Yakada, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that quite right. Yakada, which means cheers or good health also in Welsh. Why do I always start that in the shows about the Welsh? Because I'm Welsh on my father's side, Welsh-Irish. And because in my studies of the identity message many years ago, especially with the works of Dr. Barry Fell and E. Raymond Capt, I came to discover that the Welsh language and Gaelic in general are direct descendants of ancient Hebrew. So people today, they think when they hear a Jew speaking Yiddish, which is a bastardized language of ancient German for the most part, they think that's Hebrew, and no, it's not. Whereas if you want to really hear the language, listen to the Welsh speak. That's almost pure Hebrew. Or even the Scots and Irish, the other Gaelic languages, and that's very close. So if you want to hear it, go there. It reminds me of when the Egyptologist at the pyramids was talking about the pyramids, and he put up on a screen hieroglyphics, and he started to sound out the hieroglyphics. There were three Welshmen in the audience, and the Welshman stood up and said, "Oh, my God, we know exactly what you're saying." And the presenter said, what do you mean? How do you know? And he said, "Because if you can speak Welsh, phonetically, what you're saying from those hieroglyphs, a Welshman can interpret them." So there you go. More proof of this message we call identity. By the way, we want to say a shout out to both the Florida Gators over on Telegram and the School of the Prophets. They are listening in tonight, and I should say this morning. And so we do welcome them. And I looked up the words school and prophets. School is a noun, is a body of creative artists or writers or thinkers linked by a similar style or by similar teachers. So how fitting. If you use school as a verb, it means to teach or refine, to be discriminative in taste or judgment, which is exactly what we're trying to do for the white race, the Caucasian Israelites of today. The word prophet, as a noun, is someone who speaks by divine inspiration, someone who is an interpreter of the will of Yahweh God. And, of course, the word prophet we get from the Greek, prophetes, like so many of our words. You know, and it's funny, in the Jewish-controlled world, they constantly talk about our Latin or Roman roots, and yet where did the Latin and Roman come from? The Greek. But you see, they don't want to take you back that far, because you might go even further back and find out that the Greeks got their alphabet and their phonetics and their words from the ancient Phoenician Hebrew, which are our people. And I've talked about the fact that it's called Eber or Iber, I-B-E-R, was the ancient word for Hebrew. And you can find it in Spain, because Spain used to be called Iberia. In fact, we have places in America, especially over in Louisiana, where Iberia is still used for towns and locations here in the United States. And Iberia means land of the Hebrews. So right there in Spain, where we came across the Mediterranean in our migrations, you find another fingerprint. And then you can go to Ireland, which was known as Ibernia, the new land of the Hebrews. And of course, it's just a canoe ride across the channel there into Wales, where our people typically hide out in highlands. So the ancient Hebrews hid out in the highlands of Wales and in Scotland, where most of the light-hearted and pansy races that came in after us, they can't stand the harsh conditions of the highlands. So that worked to our favor, where our culture and the ancient language was preserved. The scriptures talk about the misty isles. What do you think they're talking about? The misty isles, that our people went to the, quote, misty isles. It's the United Kingdom, the land of the Hebrew, where our culture and our people survive to this day. So hallelujah. Brother Michael has reached out to us, my Welsh kinsman over there, a brother from another mother, and he has tremendous information on the history of the Gaelic languages, Celtic or Cymric. It's just amazing to me. The identity message answers so many questions. When I first became aware of the corruption of politics in America and in the world as a young man coming out of the United States Air Force, I began to look around because I also realized that the churches at the same time were not answering difficult questions. And then it was one day going to work, and I stopped at the post office, and I saw this man's car, and he had God's Law or Chaos as a bumper sticker. Talk about how our Father works in mysterious ways. God's Law or Chaos. So I said, I've got to have that sticker. So I waited for the man to come out of the post office, and it turned out it was Frank. And Frank said, oh, you like that sticker? I said, yes, I do. Would you like to have one? I said, yes, sir, I would. He said, well, where do you work? I said, right over here at the power plant. He said, well, so do I. He said, do you know where such and such trailers are, work trailers? And I said, yeah, my trailer is not very far from that. He said, come by my office tomorrow, and I'll give you some bumper stickers. That started a friendship that we had for quite some time. I came to find out that Frank was a veteran of the military, intelligence, actually. And so Frank said, here's some stickers. And by the way, here's some cassette tapes by Pastor P. Peters, which I had never heard of before. And I took them home, and I put them in my tape player, and it was Pete's message about identity, but two of the tapes were about the food laws. And that was my long journey into natural health and living by the food laws. And the fact that, you know, a lot of people say, well, why worry about that? That's Old Testament law. It doesn't apply. So your body today is different than the body of our ancestors from 4,000 years ago? No, the answer is absolutely not. Your body is exactly the same. So if there were certain things that we weren't supposed to eat 4,000 years ago, what makes you think that since Christ came, all of a sudden now your body can digest pork or shellfish? Well, I got news for you. It can't. And if you keep putting those poisons in your body, you are slowly committing suicide. So again, Yahweh's word is for our benefit, not his. He already knows all this stuff. So to continue on here, our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is altogether no spaces, pastordan.net. And the Daily Mail page is where I put up a lot of information. They're trying to shut us down on bulk mail, especially with platforms like Yahoo, etc. So if you don't get anything from me, go to the Daily Mail page. I put a lot of the stuff up there. It's a duplicate. And so that's an easy way. And it does save me time, rather than trying to email all that stuff out. There's also a homepage there for anybody that feels so led to help us out financially. And again, that's only if the Father leads. There's another page called Contact Us. If you don't have my personal contact information, you can go there and type me out a short message and I will get it. Remember, the will of Yahweh God will never take you where the grace of Yahweh God will not protect you. An old adage is, don't be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to try. And another one goes, life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. Our people seem to have forgotten that. We've forgotten a lot of things that used to be common knowledge amongst the white race. I was blessed to be raised by very strict German, Welsh, Irish parents. And they taught the simple things. And they also were strict disciplinarians so that if you veered from the path, they were swift to apply the rod. The good news is they didn't have to do that very often because as young people, my brother and sister and I, we learned that it was much better to obey than to get the rod. And I am so thankful that they were that strict. Because that discipline, that ability to take an order or to control your emotions or to keep your mouth shut when you should, served me well throughout my career. It's also where I learned to put that filter in place. The scripture talks about being careful with your words because your words are like arrows. Now, why would the scripture make that connection between arrows and words? Because once an arrow leaves your bow, you can't bring it back. It will find a target. And if you aimed it at the wrong thing, you're going to put an arrowhead in that target. Well, your words are the exact same way. If you let those words loose from your mouth, you can't bring them back. And if they are harsh, critical, condescending words, you can do great harm in your relationship with your brothers and sisters. All of these things are to teach us how to survive as a family, as a race. And the good news is our people are finally waking up to this very simple message. Finally. For people like me, this has been decades. As I was praying this morning to Father that he would give me his words for our people to hear, it reminded me, if you wrapped up this whole ministry in the entire time that I've been there, it is to awaken our people. As Ezekiel talked about, pour out his spirit on those dead and dry bones, spiritually dead white men and women. You know, the white people you look at and their eyes are glossed over. They look like zombies, like the light's on, but nobody's home. They just lost critical thinking. They lost how to be judgmental, which is, again, where we got back to the definition of the word school. To teach people to discriminate between good and evil, as the scripture also says. Test the spirits and keep that which is good. Okay, we're not supposed to tune out our brothers and sisters when they have an opinion that's different than ours. I can't tell you how many things I've learned over the years because I learned to shut my mouth. That's why it's kind of comical. People say that's why Yahweh God gave us two ears and one mouth. Spend more time listening, less time talking. Learn to be a good listener first. I took that to heart as a young man because I had very little to say to my elders until I reached the age of 18 years old. A lot of people say, well, that's impossible. No, it's not. I lived it, so don't tell me it's impossible. I lived it. I spent most of my time listening. Unless I was with younger friends, my school buddies and all, then I would talk some. But I still listened a lot. I listened to what they had to say. I took an interest in their life, their problems, their joys, their trophies, their successes. It's not all about me. Learn to be an anti-narcissist. The world is full of narcissists today. People think the universe revolves around them. I got news for you. No, it doesn't. That's why Scripture says it's better to be a giver than a taker. It's better to be the servant than the master. Why? Because it teaches you, quote, humility. Something, again, our people have forgotten in this day and age because we don't have teachers anymore. That's part of the problem. Young men like myself, we grew up right after World War II. And during that period, our grandparents, our elders, moms and dads were so interested in recovering from that hellacious period of time that they focused more on the material things. They forgot that we young men were going to be leaders one day. We were going to be fathers, husbands. And we needed to learn leadership. We needed to know what it meant to be a man. They stopped teaching that. Instead, they sent us off to public schools. What did that do to us? It let the Jew have control over what went into our brains. What we were, quote, programmed to think. So during the 50s and 60s, that's when they taught us to think more about sexual things. Treat women as a sexual object. Don't worry about being so strict in your dogma, in your ideology. Come on, give a little. Learn to get along, you know, go along to get along. Those were the messages we were taught. And, of course, the ladies were introduced to this whole idea by Jewish females who were being led by Jewish males and their money. If you look at all of the feminist movement leaders, they were all kikes, every one of them. And many of them were ugly, inside and outside. And yet we fell for it. Women said, oh, we're independent now. Really? No, you just traded one set of bosses for another. You traded your Adamite husband, uncles, grandparents, and fathers for hook-nosed kikes who were teaching in the universities and the schools, teaching you Judaism, teaching you Antichrist doctrine, instead of letting yourself be under the submission of a true warrior of Yahweh. And then once they accomplish that, then to actually feminize our men, turn them into effeminate creatures. In fact, in the New Testament, where it says that in 2 Thessalonians that there were weak-willed women that were turned, that Greek word that says weak-willed women also stands for effeminate males. And I learned that from my friend John here in Florida, who is Greek. In fact, he lives in Greece half the year and then half the year here in Florida. So he's turned me on to a lot of the deeper meanings of Greek. You see, Yahweh, if you're going to do his work, he will send you, quote, angels or messengers who will enlighten you to a level even beyond what the, quote, formal education process will do. I've been paid compliments over the years at times because they say, Dan, you're a really smart guy. No, I'm not. Not really. If I'm smart about anything, it was as a young man turning my life over to Yahweh Father God. As a young man, listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit, knowing it was much wiser than myself, that's the only thing that set me apart from others. Not my IQ, but my heart. And each and every one of you can make that same decision to turn from, quote, your wicked ways, which is going the way of the world, chasing after the Jewish mental constructs that we have all around us today, thanks to Hollywood and television, etc. Turning away from that and chasing after our Father in Heaven, who brings us truth, honesty, justice. And the world is beginning to wake up to this message. That is the good news I bring today. Just within the last week or so, I can't tell you how many messages I've received from family, friends, neighbors, and even clear across the ocean, of people witnessing the fact that our people finally are starting to wake up. Not the majority. Yahweh told us the majority will never make it. Remember? That road that leads to destruction is wide and many travel thereon. Whereas the path to salvation, not the salvation that the mainstream churches teach, which is hogwash. That word in the Greek language means to be saved from pain and suffering in this world. That's the salvation that the truth brings. And it's a narrow path, and few travel thereon. But the good news is that the few used to be very few, especially those that know this ministry and me and all of my peers. We've been doing this for a very long time, and a lot of times it feels like you're preaching to a wall. And yet, recently, there's a hallelujah moment where it looks like our people are finally thirsting for truth. And I've got scripture we're going to read here about the fact that we got in trouble when we were led away from seekers of the truth to seekers of pleasure, seekers of materialism, because that's the way the Jew gets into you. They make a study of our vices so that they can figure out how to manipulate us and take us off the right path and lead us into the path that will lead to our destruction. Now, before I get into the scriptures, I wanted to play a short audio clip. I sent this out by email and it got tremendous responses. So I wanted to play it today because even the men that heard this message told me they had tears in their eyes. And I'll confess, so did I the first time I heard it. In fact, more than once. This young lady gives this message that she received from the Holy Spirit. So let me try to play this for us now and see if you can pick up what she's trying to tell you.
Yesterday, the Holy Spirit just poured out this message to me and urged me to write it down and to share it. So that's what I'm going to do. And I've never received a message like this from him where it was like this outpouring of words that I knew weren't my own. It was the craziest experience. But here's what he had to say. I am raising the bar for you. I have raised the standard. I am molding warriors unlike the world has ever seen. The world is becoming evil like never seen before, and I am raising up warriors like never seen before. You've fallen and gotten back up. You've been through fire, but you kept on moving. You stumbled and made mistakes, but at the end of the day, you called on my name. Ever wonder why you felt set apart in this life? Because I Am has set you apart. You were created for such a time as this. The giftings and fire that I put inside you that has made you different was given to you for a reason. Let me teach you how to master your gifts for my glory, not your own. Do not try to build castles and kingdoms for yourselves. I have already created a mansion for you in my kingdom. Go out and do my work, and I will bless you greatly. Do not listen to the voices of this world. Keep your ears pricked to hear my voice, and I will guide you. You are my beloved, my chosen, and I love you. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. The battle is coming, my beloved, but do not be afraid. I have given you a strength, a different strength, that has brought you thus far, and I will bring you home. Keep your eyes on me. I will train you. You only need listen. And this was just so beautiful because my whole life I have felt different, but I know that that's for a reason. And he has a plan for all of us. And he has us right where we need to be. We just have to trust him, you know? He's so good. And he's so big and so strong. And he'll lead us. Just trust in him.
Again, that was a short video that was sent to me from TikTok. So even TikTok, created by people that maybe we shouldn't trust, all things on this earth can be used by our Father for the good. It all depends on the motive of the people using it, okay? Computers, for instance, can be used by nefarious characters up to no good within our government or within banking or whatever, but it also can be used for doing wondrous works. For instance, here today, okay, this is a culmination of efforts. My monitors and my Dell Hub were donated by Matt and John, listeners to this show, who thought enough of it to send them to me, and then I figured out how to get them wired up and hooked up and made them work. Okay, so it's a combination of efforts that this ministry gets by with what it does on a shoestring budget. Because our will is to get truth out there. Never to make money. Never to become large. Never to have a huge audience. People, they're looking at the wrong things. Christ, the Arian Christ, accomplished what he did with 12 disciples. 12 disciples, that's it. He picked out 12 lions amongst our people, not perfect, but lions here in the heart where it counts. And he changed our people. He brought what they called the gospel, the good news, which is that our Father Yahweh, who divorced Jacob Israel at one point because of our disobedience and lack of faith, the good news was there was a marriage supper coming. A remarriage to our Father in heaven. Because we wandered off the path for a very long time. Our ancestors asked for earthly kings. What a mistake. When the King of Kings was our leader, our commander, our savior. And we lived in a theocracy. But the enemy came in. And crept in amongst us, whispering in the ears, just like they did when Christ was on trial, to turn up the mob against him with lies and deceptions. They did the same thing to our ancestors. Come on, you want an earthly king. Why? Because earthly kings can be corrupted. So the Jew has been in work amongst us for a very long time. The wolves in sheep's clothing. Why do you think our Father said, beware of them? Beware. Because they spew lies and deceptions. They leaven. The word leaven, look it up in your exhaustive dictionary. It is anything that causes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. That's what the leavening verb means. And he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Pharisees were what? Jews. Antichrists. and they worked their leavening process, as they've done here in the United States and virtually every white nation on earth. They crept in and pretended to be one of your own. And they leavened our institutions, marriage, school, medicine, health, natural rights. They have leavened their way, making small changes here and there. And our people lost the ability to discern what the enemy was doing amongst us because the watchmen, deaf and dumb dogs that they were, these so-called preachers and theologians who were nothing more than whores, prostitutes, sold out their souls for money, fame, positions, power. So instead of being watchmen, they were actually leading the sheep to the slaughter. This has been going on for a very long time in our white nations. And our people did not have enough discernment to know that that person up behind the pulpit was nothing more than a prophet for the Antichrist. So many of the best men and women of our race stopped going to churches. I haven't been in a church building in many years. I wouldn't step foot in one of those whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones, because that valley of dead and dry bones that Ezekiel tells us about is our race. Look at them. Go to the mall. Go down the street. Look at them. Look at the way they dress, the way they talk, what they think is important. They're lost. Zombies. Spiritually dead and dry bones. And what do we do with this identity message? We're trying to put the spirit of Yahweh back into our people so that they become living souls once again, as Ezekiel describes. Those are biblical terms for a person when they realize that this bag of bones that we travel in is not our whole experience. We're spiritual creatures having a human experience on this terra firma, this earth. And we are to be energized by the spirit of the Almighty and not the spirit of this world, full of lies and deceptions and poisons, but truth and honesty and justice. I was looking through my Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary one day, and I happened to spy a word on the page opposite of the one I was using for the word I was looking up, and there was this word, rhadamanthine, R-H-A-D-A-M-A-N-T-H-I-N-E, rhadamanthine. And I said, wow, that's a word I've never seen used. So I looked up the definition. It was from the Greek mythology. It was the name of a lesser god in their mythology. But the word today means to be strictly and uncommonly, uncompromisingly just. To be strictly and uncompromisingly. Notice I said uncompromisingly. The white race compromises way too much. And then I said, well, no wonder I've never seen this adjective used in English. Because where do you find people who are strictly and uncompromisingly just today, especially amongst the white race? You see, the other races, people want to point fingers to them, but it was our people who were to be in charge. That doesn't mean to lord over or take advantage of. It means to be Yahweh's administrators, ambassadors, if you will, upon this earth, to bring about Yahweh's law. And as we have acquiesced to the Jews of this world and their dystopia, the world is in travail, as Scripture says. The whole world is in travail waiting for the sons of Yah to be manifested. Or as the young lady said, the great I Am, which is what Yahweh means. The great I Am is raising up an army, as Ezekiel confirms. And so does Ezekiel, or not Ezekiel, but Isaiah, and so does Malachi. He's raising up an army. Many of them don't even know it yet. But he's putting the spirit of the warrior in our people because the time is getting close. When the warriors will be called forth, and they will take up the sword, and the elders will go out with them with their inkhorn, which is a scriptural way of saying their tally sheets, to go look up those who are Antichrist, those who are destroying this earth, abusing this earth and mankind that resides on it. And they will be put to the sword. They will be eliminated. Not figuratively, literally, because that's what those prophets of old told us. We have a couple quotes here we always like to use. Henry David Thoreau said, "There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root." So 1 out of 1,000, 0.1%, that are striking at the root. What's the root of, especially the white man's problem, but actually all of mankind's problem? Who is the root? Why is it every problem that we address, when you do the deep dive down the rabbit hole, you always find a Jewish face, a Jewish name, or Jewish money? You think that's a coincidence? That was one of the few things I did enjoy back when I followed Q, was when they said there are no coincidences, because at some point it becomes mathematically impossible to be a mere coincidence. Well, the fact that you go down these rabbit holes and you find this same den of thieves, this same group of maggots that Christ identified in the book of John chapter 8, you reach a point where it's mathematically impossible that it is a mere coincidence. The good news is they're beginning to realize that their time is short. As Scripture, through the prophets, told us many years ago, their anger would be great. The dragon and his children, anger would be great because their gig is up. They are being exposed, or what is it? Oh, apocalypse revealed. The son of perdition, spoken of in Revelation, are the descendants of the Antichrists from years and years ago, doing the work of their father, liars, thieves, and murderers. You think it's just a coincidence that everybody involved with this scamdemic, this fake, phony, a medical emergency, all the people involved with the creation of this whole mental construct, and those that are making billions upon billions of dollars putting this poison into people's bodies, are all Jews? Oh, I know, some of them say, "Oh, I'm Catholic," like Nancy Pelosi. Come on, Nancy, you can't hide your ancestry. You're a Jew. Just like your husband, a despicable, ugly on the inside, ugly on the outside Jew. That's why you behave the way you do, why you have that smirk on your face when you're lying to us. You see, a true Israelite can't do that. That's why amongst Israelites, the white man, Adamic man, to show blood in the face, when we encounter somebody who's a stranger and they're talking to us, do you ever notice we always want eye contact? Because if you're a true son of Yahweh, you can't look at somebody and lie to them, because your eyes will give you away. The windows of your soul will let the other person know. That's why liars typically want to look away from you. Except the Jew, of course, because as Christ said, when they speak a lie, it's their own language. They can get on public platforms, they can get in front of a television camera, they can get in front of an audience and lie their asses off. Doesn't bother them one bit. They have no conscience. They know there is no hereafter for them. Just ask a rabbi if you think I'm making it up. There is no hereafter for them. As Christ, the Arian Christ, said, there are some here who are condemned already. They have no hereafter. That's why they want to make this world a living hell, because they have nowhere else to go. And it irritates them. Everything of Yahweh irritates them. And so now the Jewish Antichrist wants to turn this world into a living hell. You see, we have two diametrically opposed forces at work here. You have the Jew who does the work of his father. And again, these words are the words of Christ in the book of John. So you have them, and you have Yahshua HaMashiach, our ancestor, who denounced them and exposed them, and his children doing the work of Yahweh. Two diametrically opposed forces here. They cannot coexist in this world. We are in an epic struggle for the very existence of our people and our way of life, which is to live as Yahweh commands, which means we are good stewards of this beautiful earth. We don't do things to disrupt it. We don't do things to pollute it and damage it, no more than we would do it to damage or pollute mankind. And that includes other races. Okay? They're here. They're here. You cannot deny that. However, they are subject to Yahweh's law the same as we are. We are to be the leaders and live according to that law first. That's why Yahweh says judgment starts in my house. Not these other people's houses. In my house, my family, my white people. You learn to live the right kind of life first before you start trying to tell other people how to live it. Seems like many of our people have forgotten that part too. They like the idea of being in charge. They like the idea of telling other people how they should live, but then they have a little bit of trouble doing it themselves. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, which means ignorance, for light, which is knowledge and truth, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. What is the Bible saying in that verse? It's just saying everything's 180 degrees out. Woe, it says. Woe. That's a biblical way of saying you better pay attention. There is punishment that comes for this kind of behavior. And our, of course, Antichrist interlopers, the Jew, are famous for that. That's why he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their what? Hypocrisy. Which comes from the Greek word Hippocrates, which was the Greek's word for an actor. Somebody who pretends to be something they are not. These people in Washington, D.C. are actors. Every Jew is an actor. Every one of them. It's either that or you can take the Bibles out and burn them, because that's what it says. Edom Esau is our enemy. Obadiah says at verse 18 that at some point the sons of Yahweh will rise up and exterminate Edom Esau. Again, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't like hearing it. Oh, Dan, you're anti-Jewish. You're anti-Semitic. Really? Well, again, whoever's saying that, why don't you take off your mask and come out as to who you really are? You are an antichrist. Because you're saying then the Bible scriptures are a lie. You're saying Yeshua HaMashiach was not who he said he was. You are, by definition, antichrist. And I got to remind my brothers and sisters out there, what religion on this earth is 100% antichrist? The one religion at the top of the list, the very first one you're going to come to that is literally 100% antichrist is Judaism. And yet, our people sit in the pews of these sepulchers, these tombs called churches, every Sunday listening to that prostitute tell them that Jews are God's chosen people. Really? Do you really understand how stupid you are to stand up there and tell these innocent sheep that their enemy and the enemy of all mankind is, quote, God's chosen people? As if that means something good. When Obadiah and Ezekiel make it very clear, oh, they're chosen all right, but not for what you think. They're chosen for the day of their destruction. They're chosen to bring punishment upon Jacob Israel until they get their shit together, so to speak. They are a tool to wake us up. Job chapter 8 verse 7, and though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. Hallelujah. So even in the book of Job, with all of its trials and tribulations, chapter 8 verse 7, your latter days will be very great. Yeah, there is great things for Yahweh's people. Not everybody else. We're going to see a lot of people with the right DNA, but they don't have the internal workings of a son or daughter of the Most High. They're not going to make it. Miss Ella sent me some stuff today, and I didn't see it till just before airtime, so I'm kind of like reading and trying to put this to where you'll understand. But she put here that, and of course, the fourth period of 490 years, this is getting into the prophecies from Daniel and elsewhere, extends from 1517 to 2007, and from 1534 to 2024. It appears that the 2007 through the 2024 marks some kind of a transition for the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, not mainstream churchianity, please. That word church comes from ecclesia in the Greek. The called out ones, his saints, has nothing to do with institutions or buildings. In fact, most of your churches, especially the Roman Catholic Church, are about as satanic as you can get. Even as Paul's ministry marked a transition for the ecclesia in the first century. In Daniel chapter 12, quote, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that marks desolation set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That's a little bit more, right? So there are 45 days difference. Days between January 15th, 2021 and July 28th, 2024 is 1,290 days. Then between July 28th, 2024 and September 11th, 2024 is 45 days for a total of 1,335. Now, we don't make hard and fast predictions, okay? They've changed calendars on us several times. We don't know the exact beginnings of many things. We can guess, but Yahweh told us not to get caught up in, quote, predictions. down to the day and the hour. But he did say you can know the season that you're in. The season. What is the season? As this write-up says, the transitional period that appears, do you understand what that word means? Appears to be somewhere around 2007 through 2024. Isn't it odd that the Antichrist forces are pushing very hard to implement so many of their things right now, even though it's exposing them for the creatures that they are? And here we are at the beginning of 2023. It does make it appear that this could be the period of time of Jacob's trouble in the latter days, right before the transition back the other way around, right before the great jubilee of Yahweh's people. Because even as the enemy is raising up demons in this world, and all you got to do is look around. In fact, I think the Super Bowl's today. I would not watch it. I would not watch the halftime show, that's for sure. But let's see how demonic that sucker is today. Okay? Demons everywhere. We saw the pitiful expose done at the so-called Grammys, which I don't watch any of that. I don't even watch television, period. Tell-lie-vision or Talmud-vision, TV, Talmud-vision. Images created by your Antichrist overlords. Yeah, you need to turn that damn thing off. But some people watch it for the intelligence value of what the enemy's doing. So again, we have calculations that Ella sent me from the Book of Daniel's timeline according to the Acts of Thomas, which that's a website you can go to, www.axeactsofthomas.com. And it also makes the prediction that Daniel's forecast could possibly be September 11th. We do know the Antichrist likes that date for some things, doesn't it? September 11th, 2024. So we'll keep that in our hats, and we'll see what happens. But we definitely know the transitional period that we're in, right? I sure hope we do. I wanted to read some real quick. I know we're running out of time. This time goes so darn fast. But for the School of the Prophets and for our regular listeners, etc. out there, I wanted to read some of these for you. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9, formerly in Jacob Israel, the land, when a man went to inquire of Yahweh God, he said, "Come, let us go to the seer, for today's prophet was formerly known as a seer," S-E-E-R, seer, which is just they're synonyms, pretty close to synonyms. Somebody who prophesies, somebody who is basically trying to be a harbinger of what our Heavenly Father is trying to tell His people. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "But false prophets also arose among the people." Does it mean everybody out there? No, he means his people. Remember, these letters were addressed, as James 1:1 makes very clear, to the lost tribes of the house of Jacob Israel. That's a specific group of people. That is a peculiar people, which is exactly what Celt means, from the Greek word keltoi, peculiar people. So false prophets arose amongst the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Yeah, they're called churches today, church groups, the World Council of Churches, the Roman Catholic Church. You want to read a book that will turn your blood cold? Go find a book, and I read this book many years ago, and it was difficult. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I believe Fox is F-O-X-E, the old English spelling of Fox. But Fox's Book of Martyrs is a compilation of eyewitness testimony to the people that were martyred by the Roman Catholic demonic satanic church. Now remember, and I heard this from people that were raised Catholic, and some of these people, like one guy in particular, was a Jesuit priest until he learned his identity and left that hellish organization. One of them was a neighbor of mine. He was with the Assemblies of God as a pastor, and he grew up in Morocco as a Catholic and even went through Catholic training. So I get this from these kind of people, that Roman Catholicism is a political structure. It's not, it's nothing to do with Yeshua HaMashiach. It's political. It's dressed in the trappings of, quote, Christianity, because that's what people are looking for. And our people are attracted to glitz and glitter. They're attracted to wealth, gold, silver, paintings, stained glass windows. We somehow equate that to religiosity or nearness to our Father in heaven. Is that true? No, it's not. Just the opposite. Everything about the Roman Catholic Church is anti-Christ. From calling a man the vicar of Christ, Christ on earth, that's blasphemy. Dressing him up in opulent clothing with gold and silver ornamentation on him is heresy. Bowing down and kissing his ring, heresy. An abomination. The whole church is an abomination. How in the hell could anybody today be part of that organization? I don't get it. Even as a young man, before I knew my identity, the whole concept of fathers and nuns and confessions and popes and bishops walking around with all that opulence around them, it's like, what? It's like temple worship. It's idol worship. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some shepherds, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, again, the ecclesia, the called out ones, to the work of serving, to the building up of the body of Yeshua, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, the progeny of Yahweh, Yeshua, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Yeshua, that we may no longer be children, tossed back and forth, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, can you say Jews, in craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christos, Jesus the Christ. By the way, Jesus Christos, which was the Greek term for Yeshua. Jesus is their equivalent to Yeshua. Christos means anointed. And according to John, my Greek friend, Christos has the meaning in the Greek language of a shining, as in the word crystal, Christos, crystal, that this is a glow, a shining that you cannot mistake. When you see this light, this Shekinah glory on a person, this anointing on a person, it's like crystal. Greek language is very pictographic, much like ancient Hebrew. From whom all the body, being fitted and knit together through that which every joint supplies according to the working and measure of each individual part, makes the body increase to the building of itself in love. Agape love, brotherly love. That's why so much scripture talks about what an abomination it is for any of our people to cause a division amongst our people. We're to be unified as a family. That's the whole purpose of this ministry from day one, was to be a platform for truth and for our people to have a voice, but also to bring about a unity, a brotherhood, a fellowship, bring back our family, much as Malachi chapter 4 talks about, to bring our people back into remembrance that we are a racial family. And if you have those among you who do not operate in that realm, they do not consider us brothers and sisters. Remember, Adelphos, meaning brother, is the Greek word, and it means from the womb, Adelphos. It's the same word used in Philos Adelphos, which is what Philadelphia, the word Philadelphia came from, Philos Adelphos. Philos being love, and Adelphos, brother. So, brotherly love. So, city of brotherly love was a Greek word, Philos Adelphos. But again, the racial connotation, from the womb. From the womb. Matthew 24:24. Then if any man tells you, behold, here is Messiah, or there, do not believe it. For there will arise false messiahs, false Christs, and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen ones. Behold, I have told you beforehand. Yeah. Yeshua warned us. He warned us about great signs and wonders. What is the image of the beast? The image controlled by the beast. That's what that means. Doesn't mean a statue or a painting of a, quote, beast. It's images that are presented to you controlled by the beast system. Can you say Talmud vision? Movies? Videos? Images, pictures, pornography, false teachings, lies, false doctrines, painting the Antichrist as if they're the children of Yahweh. All of that, images controlled by your beast. Beast is always referring to governments of men. Who's killed more innocent people on this earth than governments? Man-made governments. Yeah, the same ones that our ancestors begged for. We don't want you, Yahweh. Get away from us. We don't want you telling us what to do, because I want to eat shellfish, and I want to eat pork, and I want to sleep with whoever I want to sleep with, and I don't want to take care of the kids I create. No, you get away from me, Yahweh. I want a king. I want a king that can tell me that it's okay to murder babies. I want a king that tells me that I don't have to listen to you about what food I eat. I can even eat food that's got dyes in it and sugars and MSG and everything else. Yeah, I want those poisons. I don't want you telling me what to eat. I can't tell you the number of white people that I've told about the food laws. And again, I don't push it. I'm never a Bible thumper. You can do whatever the hell you want. I'm not going to lose 1 minute's sleep on your decision what you do with your life. I could care less. I know there's a whole lot of our people going to hell. And that's a figurative thing. There is no literal, quote, hell. Meaning to their own destruction is really what that means. Lots of them. I got them in my family. I've got them amongst my neighbors. Okay? And that's why I have to have that attitude. I sleep well at night because there are those who do want to know the truth. Nothing excites me more than when I'm contacted by people that want to know the truth. And I can't tell you how many letters I get from people who have come away from the world, adopted Yahweh's way of life, which includes the food laws, And now they are healthier than they've ever been. They have a better outlook, a better attitude. Their brains work better. Their body feels good. I'm approaching 70 years on this earth, and I've never felt better. In fact, in a lot of ways, I feel better today than I did 30 years ago. Why? Because over that period of time, I've implemented more and more and more of what Yahweh has laid on my heart about holistic medicine and his ways according to Scripture, which always lead to what? Spiritual health and physical health. Just saying. So again, what you decide to do with this information, I'll tell you what my naturopathic doctor tells me, and she's one of the best in the world. And I've been blessed to know her for almost 20 years. She goes, Daniel, every time I consult with you, I lay the gift on the table. And what you do with it is up to you. And the same thing with this identity truth. I lay the gift on the table in front of you, and then I'm going to walk away. What you do with it, it's up to you. I really don't care. I hope that you'll come to the truth, like so many have, including myself, because it brings blessings. In this world where everybody's bitching and moaning about how terrible they feel, and they got relatives falling over dead, or they've got bad relationships and all this other stuff, and then you go, well, why don't you try Yahweh's way? Oh, no. Oh, my God, that's too strict. Oh, we got to have government of men. Really? As corrupt as hell as they are? Well, yeah, we don't want Yahweh to lead us. Well, that's because he's incorruptible. You see, we're always looking for a way out, aren't we? Every time you're presented with a truth, instead of embracing it and implementing it, what do? The very first instinct you've got is, how can I get around it? How can I get around it? It amazes me that our Heavenly Father puts up with us. It really does. If I was sitting in that throne right now, it'd be very difficult for me not to press that big button that says flush them right down the toilet. Look at the white race today. It's pathetic. Where the hell are our warriors? Where the hell are the men? Oh, we've got lots of males, boys with men's equipment, but I'm talking about real men. Because where I come from, an Israelite man never stops learning, never stops trying to be better. He is a leader, first of himself and then of his household. Wife or wives, children if they have them. But he is a leader within his household. And then he is a leader within his community. And as a leader, he never takes his eyes off our Father in heaven. That's his first objective from the moment he gets up in the morning till he goes to bed at night. Are you in touch with our Father through the Holy Spirit? And this is why holistic medicine is so important, because do you know what your antenna in the spiritual world is? You know, the antenna that allows you to receive from our Creator Father? It's called the pineal gland. It sits right between your eyes, in the brain, just below the brain, right between your eyes, the pineal gland, because it's shaped like a pine cone. Some people call it the pineal gland, but I like pineal. It rolls off the tongue more smoothly. The pineal gland, and it looks like a pine cone, pineal, pine cone. And it has rods and cones just like your eyes do. Do you remember that from biology class and health class in school? Well, at least I do. Maybe they don't teach that anymore either. But the eyes have rods and cones that pick up frequencies, electromagnetic frequencies that is visible light. And there are frequencies of light that you cannot see, just like there are frequencies of sound that your ears do not pick up, because Yahweh put limitations on man. But cats and dogs can hear a much wider range of audio frequencies, much more than we do. And our eyes pick up the light frequencies the same way. We have a window of frequencies that turn into images, but there are more frequencies than the ones we receive. But the pineal gland works exactly the same way. It has rods and cones which act like antennae. Now, the pineal gland has a very strange characteristic. It is very susceptible to pollution. So when you're eating what you damn well please, many of those so-called Jew foods that they put in their Jew stores are contaminating your pineal gland. They are calcifying it. And I'm an old technician from the Air Force, and I worked on electronic countermeasures, which is radar systems. And so we got a lot of training on transmitters, receivers, and antennae systems. And guess what? When you put a coating of oil and dirt on an antenna, it becomes much less efficient. In fact, if you put so much contamination, so much dirt and debris on the antenna, it begins to reflect energy back into the transmitter. So much so that it may actually reach a point where the transmitter fails. The analogy I'm trying to make here is that your pineal gland, being your antenna in the spiritual world, could be contaminated by your habits, your diet, because maybe you're not receiving as strong or as much material as our Father's trying to give to you. It may be why, as a young man, the Father put it in my heart, plus my mom and dad as well, to take care of my health. And yes, there was a time I ate the wrong foods. That was many years ago, though. But Yahweh sent me messengers, men and women of knowledge, to help educate me as to what I really should do. Plus, He put in the desire for truth within me that I did the digging. I determined a long time ago, I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, even the hard truth. The ones that really pissed me off. The ones that made me look in the mirror and go, man, you are a sad sack of shit. Yeah, even give me the hard stuff. Because only the truth will set you free. Those are the words of our Yahshua. First John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of Yahweh God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit who confesses that Yahshua has come in the flesh and is of Yahweh God, and every spirit who does not confess that Yahshua has come in the flesh is not of Yahweh God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Gee, it seems like John's trying to tell us Jews are Antichrist. And so are Muslims and Hindus and everything else that the white man embraces today. And have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. They, meaning all these antichrists, are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We who are of Yahweh. He knows Yahweh listens to us. He who is not of Yahweh God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, everything's common sense. Everything in Scripture is just trying to teach us how to be discerning, much like we talked about in the beginning of the program here with the word school. If you're schooling somebody, you're teaching them to be discerning. Discern the spirits. Test the fruits. A lot of people say, well, let's go to 23andMe, which is run by Jews, by the way. Or let's get DNA. No, no, no. We don't need any, quote, technical solution. We don't need that. For thousands of years, our Father in heaven gave us the method to test the spirits. And it's foolproof. Doesn't require any electricity, doesn't require any computers, doesn't require anything, actually, other than your, quote, discernment in regards to the fruits, which means the activities of the people around you. As Scripture says, a good tree bears good fruit, means good deeds. And those deeds could be spoken, or they could be physical. They could also be emotional or spiritual. But good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. Can you say Washington, D.C. and most of our man-made governments? They are bad actors, bad fruit, bad, rotten to the core. So, if you're not sure about somebody in your circle, what are their fruits? Because a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Their fruits will tell you, if you have discernment. If your eyes are open, and you have not, quote, closed off your consciousness, if you're willing to accept the evidence as it is presented to you. Looking for Amos chapter 3, verse 7. For the Lord God Yahweh does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lot of people say, well, the office of prophet is no longer needed. Really? Malachi sure seems to think differently, and so do other scriptures. We just read it in here. He says, I've given you prophets. That's after his leaving this earth. You see, the job of the prophet is still here. It's the job of the priest that is no longer needed. The priest represented the people to Yahweh. He doesn't need that. He comes straight to us. But the job of the prophet, to speak his will, to speak his words and his thoughts, that office is still here. The job of the prophet to bring us back into the family, our racial family, to teach this identity message, to understand that we are part of his family on this earth, and we have a mission to accomplish. My prayer for many years is for that righteous army that Ezekiel talks about, that vast and mighty army, to rise up, because that army will be Radamanthine. Because if you're not Radamanthine, you're not going to be in it. And that army cannot be stopped. That army cannot be bribed or threatened. Everything that the Jew uses to get his way in this world will not work with that army. And that army will bring about Obadiah verse 18. And Ezekiel 25, verse 14. and the enemies of all mankind will be exterminated from this earth. Can you imagine the paradise when there's no more chemicals in our skies, no more pollution in our waters, no more pollution of our farmlands, no more pollution in our processing of foods? In fact, we're going to get back to family farms. You're going to grow your own food the way it was meant to be from the beginning. That way you know what's in it. Besides, I'm going to tell you something. If you've grown up like I did on a farm, compared to the taste of packaged food, when you just go out into the garden, you get the lettuce and the radishes and the beets and the carrots. You dig up the potatoes and take some ears of corn. And we had beef cattle that we raised too. And you take some of those steaks out of the refrigerator and you cook that stuff up and eat it, you're going to spit at the local so-called department stores and food stores. The taste that's in there is indescribable compared to the bland, artificial stuff you call food today. Oh, they put chemicals on it to make your taste buds think it tastes good, but that's all fake and phony. Go order a steak like I did many years ago, a steak from out in the Midwest somewhere from a ranch that did everything organically. And I had it shipped on dry ice to Michigan where I was living at the time. And I had a friend from Massachusetts there and we sat down to this big old steak and a salad. Because you shouldn't have starches with proteins. They don't digest well. So we had this big old beautiful steak with a fresh garden salad. I'm going to tell you something. That was unbelievably good. And instead of getting up from the table feeling stuffed and bloated and indigestion and all that, got up from the table, felt like I could go outside and run a marathon. You see the signs of doing it right? The fruit of doing it right? Just like intermittent fasting, you want to lose weight, you want to feel good, you want to have energy, you want your body to recover from the poisons and all, start learning about intermittent fasting. If you don't know how to do it, contact me. I'd be glad to talk you through it. It's easy. I've known about it for decades. Most things that our Father has in mind for us are not hard. What's hard is our heads. We are stiff-necked, hard-headed Israelites, and we like to think that we are the center of our universe. Getting through our heads is the toughest job. Getting into our hearts that have that crust, and that, by the way, is what the word circumcision was talking about. It wasn't talking about mutilating our baby boys. No, that's mutilation. And if you think that brings you closer to the Creator, you're dumber than a box of rocks. Sorry, truth hurts, doesn't it? You don't mutilate baby boys. That does not make you somehow holy and closer to God. You are actually committing child abuse. Everything is simple. Everything is pure. And one thing to remember, our Father in heaven does not make mistakes. That's one of the easiest things to take this whole circumcision thing and cram it down somebody's throat. You don't see anywhere in the animal kingdom where they practice circumcision, do you? Why? Because, obviously, it was meant to be there. And yet you think our Creator Father wants you to mutilate your baby boy. And somehow that's beneficial? No, he was talking about circumcision of the heart. Meaning to cut away that barrier you put in your mind and in your heart from the Holy Spirit trying to reach you and turn you into his son or daughter. That's what he's talking about. Not mutilating a child. The same thing can be said about abortion. It's actually infanticide, murdering a baby inside a woman's belly. Come on. Come on. stop being a Jew. Okay? Stop being a Jew. We actually don't even have to go to war, even though eventually the prophets tell us that we will take up arms against these people and we will annihilate them at some point. But in the meantime, we don't have to actually do that because all we got to do is stop supporting them. They do the works of their father Satan, okay? That does not bring about anything good. The Antichrist and communist forces today exist amongst mankind because we have allowed our man-made governments run by Jews to steal our earnings and support the communist system. Every communist system would fall on its face if we, the white men and women, would stop supporting it. That's a fact of life. Every one of them would fall flat on their face because they're authoritarian, they're inefficient, they don't work. That's why every communist nation has to be supported and subsidized by the funds coming typically from the white nations. Just stop supporting the Jew. Why do you think the Jews hate the BDS movement? Okay? Bravo, Delta, Sierra. The BDS movement. You can look it up. They hate it because they have to have you. They're parasites, just like Maurice Samuel and other Jews have said in their books. The Jew is a natural-born parasite. I love it when these people tell me, oh, Jews are smart and they're good with money. Really? You mean like a thief that's cunning and steals your savings? You think that's makes them good with money? The fact that they're thieves and they're cunning? No, they're not. Oh, well, they're intellectuals. Really? Every Jew I've ever been around was far from an intellectual. Most of them were retards. Okay? They had to have the white men go out and do the actual job, but they love to go to the board meetings and take credit for it. I will admit that. Every one of them I've ever seen, and that includes Indians, by the way, from over in Asia, India. We had a lot of Indian, quote, project managers as well as Jews. In fact, I call Indians, many of them, black Jews. The Indians were famous for wanting to take credit for what the Anglo engineers were doing in the field. And as soon as something went wrong, they went hiding in their offices, and when the managers above them would come in, they'd point the fingers to the Anglo engineers. It's their fault. It's their fault. They were famous for that, just like Jews. When there's praise and adulation and money being passed around, they'll stand right out in front. But as soon as something goes wrong, they scurry off and hide behind their desk and want the white guys to take the blame. But it's the white guys that get the job done. And yeah, sometimes we make mistakes. But in the field, when the operators and the other maintenance departments wanted something done and they wanted to hear the truth, where did they go? They went to the white guys. The white engineers, the white technicians, the white mechanics. That's just the way it was. And that's even before I knew about identity. I saw that's the way it was. All right, I'm going to tell you what. I've got a lot more verses here, but I think you've heard enough for today. You get the point. And again, we are blessed that the School of the Prophets was able to join us today. And for those folks that have Telegram, I'm going to go over to Telegram and be on their channel for some discussion at the end of this program. A real quick note, though, because of the signs of the times that we're in, the financial system is in a state of flux. I sure hope you're putting away some cash. And if not cash, something of value that can be bartered, okay? Whether it's gold, silver, guns, ammunition, cars, tires, tools, books, cigarettes, booze, they're all barterable material. And as good as gold and silver, actually, if things go bad. The food supply, they're trying to shut it down. And what food is out there, a lot of it is contaminated. Even some of the organic companies we're finding out are liars. Typically owned by Jews, that they found out a lot of white people are on to the bad food. And so they have changed the definitions to where these Jew-run companies can claim that they're organic. So Weston A. Price Foundation and other EWG and places like that, if you go to them, they have reports that tell you about the ones that are lying. Your health is utmost in importance today, folks. Going into this period of time, you want to be the healthiest you can possibly be. For some of you, shed those excess pounds. Please. You're going to feel so much better. And you're going to look better, too. But you're going to feel so much better. Carrying that excess weight around is very difficult on your joints, your tendons, your muscles, and your organs. Shed those pounds. Make your preparations as best you can for a rainy day. I grew up in Amish country. We always had a pantry full of canned food, smoked meat, canned meat, so that if there was a flood or a tornado or a winter storm or whatever, we had plenty of food in the pantry and we didn't have to worry about it. Common sense, like being a good Boy Scout. All right. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We just pray that your words would go out and reach the ears of those that are meant to hear it. We ask for your guidance in everything that we say and do in this day and age, Father, because you represent truth and justice and honesty. Very, very short supply of that today. And we are in an ocean of lies and deception. And by your Spirit, we can see through these lies, and we give you the praise for that. So be with us as we try to encourage our brothers and sisters and remind them that we are family. We're going to come back together as a family under your direction, and also raise up and train those warriors for the day of the sword. We know that day is just down the road, and they need to be in training right now so that when that day comes, we're prepared to go forth and do the job that you have told us through the prophets that we are here to do. In the meantime, be with us and guide us. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit. And always, Father Yahweh, protect us from our enemies. Hallelujah.
It's coming down, it's coming down. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. With soldiers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at desire was only to be left alone. One day he sold a so-called friend a gun. One day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down, it's all around. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I saw the lawless law there flex its long, mean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some got what they deserve. It's coming down,
it's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue. I bet their leaders think they're fooling me and you. Now foreign troops, they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither in coils. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down, it's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed